Believe, be baptized, belong, responding to the gospel in Acts 2. In the bustling streets of ancient Jerusalem, a transformative moment unfolded during the festival of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter had just delivered a powerful sermon, confronting a crowd with the reality of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. The response was electric. Hearts were pierced, and lives were changed. Drawing from Acts 2:41-47, this passage paints a vivid picture of the early Christian community's birth and growth. It's a story that resonates today, offering timeless guidance on how to respond to the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus. Whether you're a lifelong believer seeking deeper roots or someone exploring faith for the first time, this narrative outlines three essential steps: believe the gospel, be baptized as a public declaration, and belong to a church for ongoing growth and service. Let's dive in, exploring what the Bible says about escaping a crooked generation and thriving in faith. Acts 2:41-47. 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. 45. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. The passage begins. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. This snapshot reveals a community alive with purpose, but it all starts with the first response: believe the gospel. Peter's sermon urged the crowd to be saved from divine judgment on a rebellious world. To receive his word means more than intellectual agreement. It's to welcome the gospel into your heart, embracing it fully. As verse 44 clarifies, these are the ones who believed. The gospel is the message that Jesus died for our sins and rose again, offering forgiveness and eternal life. But belief isn't a casual checkbox. Even demons acknowledge Jesus' death and resurrection, yet it doesn't save them, James 2:19. True saving faith is personal trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Imagine knowing a doctor can cure your cancer, but never seeking treatment. That's mere agreement. Saving faith is like grabbing a life preserver in stormy seas or relying on a rope to descend a cliff. It's saying Jesus died for my sins, he rose for my eternal life. And this faith is repentant. It turns from sin toward Christ. When the crowd, convicted by the Holy Spirit, asked, "What shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Repentance isn't earning forgiveness through perfect living. It's a heart shift, rejecting sin, and desiring Jesus to lead. Let's look at a hypothetical 1st-century Joseph recounting his conversion over 4 days. One day, he emphasizes repentance, turning from self-righteousness to Jesus. Another, trust, relying on Christ alone, not works. A third, baptism, since it often happened the same day. And finally, receiving the Holy Spirit as every believer does upon faith, Romans 8:9. These aren't separate paths, but facets of one conversion experience. In the early church, faith, repentance, baptism, and the Spirit's indwelling intertwined seamlessly. No one claimed baptism alone saved without faith. It's all tied to trust in Christ. A poignant analogy drives this home. Imagine a house on an island in a lake, engulfed in flames during thin ice season. Firefighters can't reach it, and the home burns despite being surrounded by water, the very thing that could save it. Tragically, some attend gospel-preaching churches surrounded by truth and believers, yet never embrace it personally. They risk eternal judgment despite the lake of salvation nearby. The call is clear. Don't just hear the gospel, believe it. Trust Christ, repent, and be saved. Moving to the second step, be baptized. This isn't for salvation, but as a public sign of it, demonstrating obedience to Christ. In Acts 2:41, those who received the word were baptized. Here is a personal example of the time that can be part of conversion. This story is from a 1998 mission trip to Benin, West Africa, when the speaker was only age 12. In a village called Beto, the gospel was preached for the first time. Years later, returning with his wife, they witnessed the village chief, once steeped in voodoo, profess faith and be baptized. Carried to a crude tank due to frailty, he confessed Christ amid singing believers, undeterred by the intimidating voodoo priest filming nearby. It was dramatic, but the preacher notes that every believer's baptism, like a young woman's that morning, is equally vital. Why baptize? Jesus commanded it in the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. This mandate lasts until Christ's return, no expiration date. Baptism is for believers, not infants or unbelievers. Acts consistently shows this pattern. Belief first, then baptism, e.g. Acts 8:12, 16:14-15, 18:8. It should be by immersion, fully dunked, to symbolize Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. The Greek word baptizo means immerse, not sprinkle. A different word, rantizo, is used for sprinkling in Scripture. Even reformers, like John Calvin and Martin Luther, acknowledged immersion as the early church's practice, with Luther arguing it best pictures the complete gospel. Think of a child's drawing. Some accurately depict reality, others fall short. Sprinkling infants doesn't capture the gospel's essence, death to sin and new life in Christ. Baptism publicly identifies with Jesus, declaring separation from the world. If you've believed, obey by being baptized. It's Christ's command, not optional. Finally, belong to a church. The 3,000 new believers were added to the community, Acts 2:41, joining for godliness, service, and mutual support. They devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, meals, and prayer, sharing everything in unity, verses 42-47. Church isn't optional. It's where rescued souls thrive together. Early Christians tracked members from 120 pre-Pentecost, Acts 1:15, to 3,120 post-sermon, then 5,000 men, Acts 4:4, and more. They knew who belonged for shepherding and accountability. Jesus taught church discipline in Matthew 18:15-17, assuming defined membership. Confront sin privately, then with witnesses, then tell the church, treating unrepentant as outsiders. Paul echoed this in 1 Corinthians 5, urging removal of an unrepentant sinner. Every Christian should be a known part of a local church, not just attending casually, but belonging committedly. Counter common excuses, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, I don't need church. Yet Jesus builds his church, Matthew 16:18, and loves it as his bride, Ephesians 5:25. Love what he loves. I'm not into organized religion, but organization enables missions, soul care, and widow support. Pastors watch over specific flocks, Hebrews 13:17, needing to know who they are. I get more from online sermons. Church isn't just consumption, it's contribution. Your gifts serve the body, 1 Corinthians 12. Skipping gatherings disobeys Hebrews 10:24-25. Cultural barriers like individualism, me and Jesus got our own thing, consumerism, church shopping like burgers, and autonomy, resisting authority, hinder belonging. A good church counters these, pushing interdependence, demanding contribution, and submitting to Scripture's authority. Jesus died to save individuals and place them in his body, Ephesians 5:25-27. Local churches express this visibly, places for growth, service, accountability, worship, preaching, prayer, singing, baptism, and communion. In summary, Acts 2 calls us to believe, trust and repent, be baptized, publicly obey, and belong, commit to community. For non-Christians, start with belief. Welcome the gospel today. Escape judgment through Christ. For Christians, reflect. Have you been baptized? Do you belong meaningfully? Help others take these steps. This isn't about earning salvation, but living it out. As the early church grew daily, may we too see lives transformed, communities strengthened, and the gospel advance.